Here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. Man, did we amp up that game and pump the tires of that game, and it just didn't really play out the way we were hoping it would last night.
No, I thought Pittsburgh checked them into the ice, actually. Yeah. For the first time, they looked a little, I don't know, confused or bamboozled, if you like. They couldn't figure out a way to work their way through. And I mean, as I was standing there, I thought they got outworked mostly, you know, in the game. But, you know, it wasn't that, oh, Crosby was amazing, or, you know, I mean, Malkin was good, but it wasn't like he was, you know, he had the puck on his stick the whole game. It's just Toronto really never sustained anything. Their big Tavares was their best guy for sure. But Marner was quiet. Matthews was quiet. Riley was quiet. Still haven't seen much from Marleau. I think they got outworked last night.
Yeah, that's what it felt like to me. And I think Sid was a perfect example of that. Like, the stats weren't screaming at you. He still hasn't scored a goal. But I just watching him, I'm like, well, he's got the puck in their end again. Yep, there he is. Yeah, he was just pushing and pushing and pushing.
He was on it last night.
Felt tenacious to me, yeah.
It did.
Which is what you expect out of him, right?
Exactly.
I mean, that's, you coined this years ago. He's a graceful grinder. He's the most graceful grinder I think we've ever seen, where he's just got a motor, and you can't hit him off the puck, and you can try to, but it doesn't matter. And that's what it looked like to me. And when he was on the ice against Matthews, he chewed him up all night.
Yeah, and they, you know, Ron Hainsey said something in the pregame interview that it didn't really come to fruition, but in a way he was right. They asked him about stopping Crosby, and he said the worst part is he doesn't have any goals, and that usually doesn't last very long. Well, the way it played out, in a sense, was that Pittsburgh hasn't played very well, and they needed to lock in. They needed to have a game where, you know, they played like a top end team, because they hadn't done, I mean, hell, they just lost to Vancouver and it was just like a dog of a game. And so I thought they came and they were pretty sharp. Their defense, which is shaky to begin with, I thought did a pretty decent job. And, I've never been a real Matt Murray guy. I think he's pretty good, but I've never thought he's a upper echelon guy, for me anyway. But I thought he was awesome last night. Like, he was locked in.
Yeah, I was saying before you came on, Ray, that that's the best I've seen him play in a long time. I didn't love his year last year. He's a slight guy who does get nicked up. And you can't fault concussions. It happens. But I think he gets worn down if you ask him to play a lot. But I thought he was on the puck last night, like just dialed in. He got a couple lucky bounces, but you have to be having a game to get some luck, but he made a couple big left pad saves, one on Kadri on the back door, like in tight. Tavares tried to go blocker side when he was in kind of off that right wing. Like, there was, you could tell he was feeling it last night, and you know, he was able to lock it down when they did get some chances.
Any better, because they Casey DeSmith, the backup last night, and I mean, he's been bounced around a little bit. He's 27 years old. He hasn't played a whole lot. But they don't have, we talked about it last year, they don't have the luxury of having Marc-Andre Fleury hanging around. So it's either Matt Murray or, man, they're screwed. You know, like, they're not going to be a contending team without Matt Murray. And last night he was good. And, you know, like, Jimmy Rutherford was talking before the game about how he thinks, like, Murray is way overthinking the position. Like, he just needs to just stop the puck. Don't try to make two saves at once, was kind of like what he was implying. You know, like, don't make it harder than it is. Just stop the puck. And maybe being the lone guy was too hard for him last year. You know, it got too much. His dad passed away in the middle of the year as well, which, you know, it was rather sudden, from what I understand. And, God, that's a terrible thing. And, you know, it's really hard to get your head back to what you're doing when that happens. So maybe it was a lot of things, but they sure need him to be terrific this year.
With Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, Edmonton with a win last night at home against Boston, and now they're 3-2. So they start 0-2 over in Europe, and then at home against Boston, and they got spanked, and it was ugly. And now they found a way to grind out three wins. And McDavid, Two more assists last night. That play he made in overtime was
yeah.
Who did he freeze in place at the blue line?
That was gross.
It was silly.
He went outside, like that one little right foot, left foot thing. He went by whoever was standing at the blue line, like the guy was just learning to skate.
The guy handed him a ticket. That's what it was.
Well, you might as well at that point. You might as well just skate off. Be like, forget it.
Just go north when he's heading south. Like,
you
just
got me.
Skate right off.
Like, he is every single game, he's embarrassing like a legitimate NHL player. Like, he's done it to Trouba already this year. He did it to Chara.
And Bergeron, that one play. That was Chara and Bergeron.
He gets in alone three times a game.
Yeah, and the thing is, again, I'm looking at his stats. He played 24 minutes and 58 seconds. And the play he made was in overtime. So that was after he'd been on the ice for like 24 minutes and 55 seconds or whatever.
You know what he's got? It's funny you bring that up, Brian. He's got a pretty... Well, he's obviously a smart guy on the ice, but he's got a pretty cool way of, like, he doesn't, it's not like he's going, you know, right to the wall all the time. It's like he conserves when he has to go or when he doesn't have to go. He's smart about when he really needs to go. And, you know, the 24 and a half minutes, I think if somebody else tried to play it, you know, they work like hell to do half the work that he does. You know, like he's got a really cool way of kind of like just slinking around the ice, and then he sees a little bit of something, and my God, he's just explodes through it. It was, you know, I saw that on my phone for the first time, the overtime goal, and I had to go back and look at it again because I was like, who? I think it was Marchand tried the long pass. Well, maybe that's who it was at the blue line.
It was Marchand.
Holy smokes. It was like he fell into a hole.
He broke his ankles.
And the thing is if that was... Marchand would have to be smart because he could... You get deke like that, your natural instinct would probably stick your leg out. And you clip his knee or something. Like, that's... You know, that's the first thing I thought about. It happened so quickly, but... Somebody's going to do that instinctually when the guy's flying that fast.
You hate to admit it, but it's true. It's you're on a raft, and there's been a hole poked, and you're going under.
Yeah,
like when he's skating by you, at some point someone's going to do something where it's like, all right.
Well, Trouba gave him a whack on the hands. I don't know if you saw that. Like, I thought it should have been that goal that he scored on the power play that Draisaitl set him up against Winnipeg. Trouba gave him a little whack. Like, I thought that would have been a penalty anyways, even though he scored. But you give somebody, like, the game has changed. It used to be a freebie on the hands and a freebie on the stick. It's not anymore.
Good. So that helps him more. Oh,
exactly.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
If you're trying, it's almost, that sounds just the way you described it, almost like with defensive backs in football. It's like they've given them less and less tools to try and stop or interfere with the receiver because they want more offense, and some people don't like it, but most do. And I'd rather see Connor McDavid make a play like that last night than get flashed on the hands and lose the puck in the corner.
Every day of the week.
On the right, they got it right, and people want to watch that, and I want to watch that, and so we got to see it again last night. And it you're right, all of a sudden the oil have somehow dug themselves out of what could have been a pretty ugly pit.
Well, I'll go back to it. Sorry to interrupt, Brian, but that Talbot made some big saves. Like, early on, they were being outshot. Like, the goalie has to be just good. He wasn't good.
And that's what I wanted to get to here. Like, it's drastically different sports. But when you consider the amount of minutes McDavid's playing, he's creeping towards basketball minutes. Like, he's on the ice half the game.
Yeah.
And it's not... You know, it's not 80% of the game or 90, 95, but can McDavid pull a LeBron where he is so good where if he just gets average goaltending, he can drag them to the playoffs? Like, is that possible in hockey where Cam Talbot is the 15th ranked goaltender in the league? So just right in the middle.
Yeah.
Gives you whatever the stat is, save percentage, goals against, blah, blah, blah. Whatever that means.
Kind of looking like he can right now.
Can McDavid personally do it?
I think he can, because Talbot didn't give you 15th last year. He gave you 30th out of 31. And I don't know how closely you watched the game last night. with a minute left, Boston almost won that game in regulation. And if you go back, Lucic got walked by the blue line. I don't know who it was. Left-handed shot, throws the puck down to the net. If this was last year, there was a garage sale in front, and the guy batted it wide of the net. If this was last year, it would have gone in easily because I thought Talbot fought for that puck. And you know, sometimes you get that extra bounce where last year they didn't get any bounce.
All right, so let's say they get puck luck. The average this year.
Yeah.
See, I don't think they can because I don't think their defense is good enough. I think somewhere along the line that D is going to have too much trouble. The puck's not going to get to McDavid enough. They're going to spend too much time back in their end. And I think Talbot's got to be better than better than average. Like that to make, like their third pair is a train wreck right now.
They barely play.
Yeah.
And that just can't be, we know what the season does to guys. Like it wears you down in the, You've got to be, and you're going to get somebody banged up. Like, I know they already have Sekera is out of the lineup, but somebody's going to get banged up. And if you have barely enough depth now, and it doesn't look like Todd McLellan's got a great deal of faith in a whole bunch of guys because he plays very few of them, I think I guess it's possible, but I just, my gut is that they're not there because their blue line's not going to be good enough to push them over the top.
What about the Habs? They've got Ottawa tomorrow night, and they're off to a good start. I mean, the Antti-Niemi's picking up wins, and
well, I never saw that. Mm-hmm. I never saw Montreal playing like this. I just didn't believe. Like Bergevin was talking about, you know, they had to change their attitude, and you know, and he said that was the big difference, between last year and what had to happen this year. And I thought that was kind of a little hokey. You know, that geez, it can't just be that. But, you know, maybe when you really think of it, the last couple of years, there's always so much drama in Montreal. A lot of it was around Galchenyuk. Is he a center? Is he a winger? You know, his production was up, then it was down. And he was, you know, some games he looks engaged, other games he doesn't look engaged. And so, you know, he's gone. And they get a guy that's happy to be there looking for some redemption in Domi. And then, you know, they moved Pacioretty, and it was starting to get about his contract last year. It was going to be all about his contract this year. And so those guys are gone. It's like it's fresh air. And it's not necessarily to say that was the problem, but guys, we've been on teams where it just, man, it's just like the air is heavy. Nothing is good. Nothing feels right. And that's kind of where Montreal was. I mean, I know it's early, but hell, they look faster and they look more aggressive, which has never been a hallmark of Claude Julien teams. Like, they always grind you to death. But it's like they've even got to the program. And they've looked entertaining, which I never say that about the Canadians lately, that's for sure.
Are you happy your Red Sox are, like, we were just going over the Boston parades. It's just ridiculous. Oh.
How about my boy, David Price?
Is he
your boy, huh? So, you have probably thrown things at the TV.
That's
so
where I was
many
go.
Times.
How much hatred have you had for David Price over the last couple years? But all of that went away last night.
You know what? I will say, you know, I could not quite figure out how the hell you can be as good as you are in the regular season and as crappy as he's been in the postseason. But I'll tell you what was the difference last night. Did you see he got rid of those hospital white shoes he was wearing?
Oh, those high cleats. Tops?
Oh, those things look terrible. They look like they should have had knee braces on them. They were awful.
Forrest Gump.
Run, David, run. Like, he had actual cleats on. He looked like he looked better last night. And they were like, I was telling a couple of people, I know this game will go well if the Leafs game is over and David Price is still pitching. And I was checking, and Franklin, our director, he was throwing arrows at me. He kept saying, oh, this is the inning. In my ear, he's telling me this thing's going sideways. But, I was sweet.
No, he was on pace last night, man. He was in form. Like, he looked really good. And Kimbrel
looked
good, too.
What do you expect for $217 million?
Well, that's the thing, yeah. Right? It's amazing how the standards drop Like, he pitched the way you would expect David Price to pitch. Like, the same thing with
like
Kershaw.
Like what he's paid to do?
Same thing with Kershaw the day before. Job. Kershaw pitches really well. It's like, yeah, dude, you're the best pitcher of your generation. Like, what?
It's your job.
We're supposed to be happy for you because you actually did what you're supposed to do.
You know? I'll tell you, though, like, I'm just astounded. Like, can pressure really be that much? You know, like, it clearly has affected Price. Because he's not the same pitcher 2 weeks earlier than he is in October.
Well, I think you could say that about Kershaw, too.
Kershaw's the same thing.
They're so good, and then they're just not. And so when he was out there last night, I'm like, oh, for the love of God, I hope they can get 5 innings out of him. Because if they got to go back to that bullpen again, that's not going to be pretty. And they didn't need it because he was so good. So
well. And now they're saying Chris Sale's ready to go. He'll be ready for the World Series. He'll pitch game one, I would assume. And, you know, Dodgers, Red Sox, it's never happened in the World Series. That would be great.
Okay, I didn't know that. That's bizarre that with all their long history that they haven't matched up anywhere.
It's just it's pockets of incompetence for both organizations, right? Like, the Leafs haven't played the Habs in the playoffs since the 70s. Like, think about that. And it's all because of the Leafs. Like, it's not because the Habs. The Habs were pulling their weight. They make the playoffs all the time. But I think it's 1978 the last time those two teams played in the playoffs.
They almost met in a final.
That was a 4-game sweep, I think, for Montreal. And I think the Habs won. I remember Cam Connor scored some really cool goal of somebody that never scored any goals, and he scored a really big goal somewhere in that series. I think I got the right one, but... Crap, they never play.
Right. It's so weird. Like, at least, you know, with the Dodgers and Sox, they have to meet in the World Series. Right. The Leafs could meet the Habs in the first round, the second round, the third round. Like, just find a way to meet somewhere. Exactly. And they haven't done it since, like, Lanny McDonald was on the team.
You never know how they could shape up this year.
There have been times where it's come close. You know, where they were real close, like down the stretch where it started to line up and it just never happened.
But, I mean, Toronto's near the top, and I still believe that Montreal will fight for a playoff spot and be right there. So it could be 1-8.
That would be outstanding.
Well, I would imagine you guys would push for, hey, we should go to Montreal for the game.
Oh, yeah.
You can bank on that. We'll be driving down the 401. We'll find our own way there. Don't worry, TSN.
We got it covered.
Yeah, we'll cover expenses and everything. Just let us go to Montreal, please.
That could be a phone in from home.
See that. You need to be on assignment in Montreal.
Of course.
Yeah.
Suspension assignment.
That's right.
Really pushing for this, eh? I like it all. Keep on it. This is going to work out well. I know it.
No, you can't get suspended around here. I tried.
Well... Did you have, like, people actually thought you got suspended?
Oh, I know. People were just getting out of hand. I had to delete a tweet.
People were messaging me saying, did O get suspended at TSN? I'm like, what?
Because of Twitter? You were tweeting out, like, sarcastic stuff?
I think he tweeted out.
Yeah, like, I was 10 minutes late. I got suspended. Or I asked to be suspended.
For 2 days.
So people are, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to take the suspension at the end of the month, Thursday and Friday.
Yeah.
Picking your own suspension.
As if.
The Pablo Escobar move. I'll build my own jail, and I'll go when I say I'm going to go, and whenever I want to leave, I'm going to leave. Yeah. Anyway, we got to fly, Ray. Enjoy the weekend. We'll do it Monday at 5.
Yep, talk to you then, boys. Enjoy.
There's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst.